Ready when you are, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call our regular scheduled City Council Successor Agency, Stanton Housing Authority, joint meeting of January 11th at 6 o'clock. We are going to be having a closed session. And I just want to note that we are being held telephonically under the government code, and that we have allowed our public to participate if they need to. That being said, I'll go ahead and Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van. One moment, Ms. Van is here. Ms. Van, if you can go ahead and unmute your microphone, you have the authority to do so.
Alice, unmute, please.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm here.
Thank you. Council Agency Authority Member Warren. Ms. Warren, same thing, if you can unmute your microphone, please.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez is absent. Mayor Chairman Chauver.
Present.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to item number three, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I was just curious if we have any public comment on any of our closed session items at this time.
Mr. Mayor, we have no one in the room for public comment orally, and we did not receive any written communication.
All right, that being said, we're going to go ahead and move to closed session. Would you take care of that, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, please give me 1 minute while I transfer out to the respective breakout room for closed session. 1 moment, please.
And while we're doing that, I will let the public know that we're going to have a conference on legal counsel anticipated litigation, item 4A, and 4B, a conference with rural property negotiator. Thank you.
We will now slowly be moved to the breakout room. One moment, Miss. There we go. Thank you. Good evening, and thank you for your continued patience during the silent period. The City Council is currently meeting in closed session and will return into open session once completed. The meeting should be resumed at 6:30 p.m. Thank you again for your time and patience. We'll see you at 6:30.
Thank you. It is, we got 1 more minute and we'll get started. How are you doing, Mr. Ames?
I am doing very well. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Mr. Anyway, Mayor, ready when you are, sir.
Thank you. We're going to call to order the Stanton Council meeting, Successor Agency, Housing Authority, and Joint Regular Meeting for 6:30 p.m. Would you please call roll, Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van? 1 moment, please, while Ms. Van unmutes her microphone for us.
Alice, I think you're muted.
Ms. Van is in the room.
Sorry about that. I'm here.
Perfect. Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Present.
Once again, Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez is absent. Mayor Chairman Chauver.
Sure. Thank you. All right. At this time, we're going to pledge the flag. Let's see. Jared, do you want to lead us? I have the flag.
And if you can unmute your clipper.
There you go. No, sorry. Got to get used to unmuting again now that we return to virtual. Sure thing, Ms. Mayor. Thank you. If everybody can please place your hand over heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Hildebrand. Okay, we have asking our city attorney, was there anything to report out of closed session, please?
Thank you, Mayor, Council. There's nothing to report out.
Thank you. We have no special presentation awards tonight. We'll move on to the consent calendar. We have items 9A all the way down to 9. Wow, hold on.
9K, Mr. Mayor.
9J.
K as in Kim.
Did I miss one?
No, sir. So tonight we have 9A through 9K as in Kim.
Okay, we got A to K. Is there anyone wishing to pull an item?
9G.
9G. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. 9G. Anybody else? Was there any request to have anything pulled from the public?
No request to pull any items from the public, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So we'll go ahead. Anyone would like to please move the balance?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Mr. Mayor, we have a motion for the balance by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Van. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Chairman Jobber?
Yes.
All items on the consent calendar have been approved, minus item 9G, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
So item 9G this evening is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, approving subdivision tract map number 18107. Mr. Taylor, what are your questions for staff this evening?
I didn't quite understand what the reason was that we're approving this.
Mr. Ames?
Council Member Taylor, my understanding is that this track map has not been approved by City Council yet.
Oh.
If your understanding is different than mine, I certainly would like to know, but I think what the staff report was trying to convey, if there's some confusion on the matter, was that the track map as it sits in my office, which is a Mylar copy of the track map, was signed by the former Public Works Director prior to City Council approval of the track map. So I was trying to convey that I didn't want to put the applicant through additional work by changing the city engineer's statement or certificate on it. So the item before you this evening is to actually formally approve the track map.
Okay, I understand. I did read that, but I was just a little confused. Thank you. I'll move the item.
I'll second it. Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. For item 9G, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Mayor Shaver. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes, now we'll go to the end of our consent calendar. This is item number 10, public hearings. Public hearing number 10A, this is a public hearing to consider site plan and design review SPDR 811, conditional use permit CUP 20-04, plan development permit POP 27, development agreement DA 20-04, tentative map number 19119, and adopt of the initial study mitigated negative declaration and associated mitigation monitoring and reporting program for a new 79 unit townhome project, including 7 low income affordable units located at 12200 Beach Boulevard in a commercial general CG, general mixed use GLMX overlay zone. I bet this goes to Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Tonight, I would like to ask Associate Planner Stephanie Franco to provide the presentation for the council.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. I'll go ahead and share my screen. Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. The applicant, Bonani Development, is requesting approval of a 79-unit attached townhome development known as the Bigsby Townhome Project. The request includes a tentative tract map to subdivide the lot for condominium purposes, a development agreement to provide community benefits and set the development standards, a conditional use permit to allow a standalone residential development in the general mixed-use overlay zone, site plan and design review to consider design and site layout, and a planned development permit to ensure creative, innovative, and desirable project and project-specific development standards. The site is 3.5 acres and is located on Beach Boulevard, south of Chapman Avenue at 12200 Beach Boulevard. The property currently includes an RV rental business known as Share My Coach. The zoning of the property is commercial general with the general mixed use overlay. The applicant plans to remove all existing structures to construct the 79 unit townhome development and associated improvements. To the north of the site is a commercial general, a commercial center with restaurants, a laundromat, and a liquor store, as well as an apartment complex named Su Casa Apartments. To the south is Beach Auto Glass and the Anaheim Barber City Channel. To the east is the Anaheim Barber City Channel. And to the west is the Beach Creek Resort Apartments in the city of Garden Grove. The subdivision will provide for 79 attached, individually owned townhomes and common areas managed and maintained by a homeowners association. The City Council authorized staff to enter into negotiations with the applicant for the terms of the development agreement. The DA secures the regulations for the developer to implement the project under. In exchange, the developer agrees to provide substantial improvements to this development project and to contribute to a public benefit, neighborhood preservation, and beautification and enhancement fee, in addition to the required development impact fees. The beautification fee can contribute, but is not limited to the design, implementation, and improvement of the proposed Orangewood parquet at the terminus of Orangewood Avenue at Santa Rosalia, and or other improvements to connect and enhance Beach Boulevard, specifically related to this corridor, including the Verb and Cloudhouse projects. Additionally, the applicant is proposing 7 for sale, affordable low-income housing units. The units will have a restricted covenant recorded for a period of 50 years. The Stanton Municipal Code requires a conditional use permit for standalone residential developments within the general mixed-use overlay zone for properties that are a minimum distance of 500 feet away from intersections of principal, major, primary, or secondary arterial streets as defined in the Stanton General Plan. The proposed project site is approximately 880 feet away from the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Chapman Avenue, identified as a primary arterial in the general plan.
I think you're muted.
It looks like we had a bit of an issue. Maybe I disconnected for a bit. Let me go ahead and share my screen again. Okay, hopefully my screen is back up. Can anybody confirm?
You're almost there. It's saying that it's ready to share. Here it comes. You're back on.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. So the city's land use and development pattern along Beach Boulevard has seen a revitalization in recent years. The project provides a new housing type consistent with the other new development along Beach Boulevard. The site is designed to meet the required front, side, and rear yard setbacks, as well as height and density for the zone. The project has a main and secondary driveway on Beach Boulevard, a 25-foot interior street serves the proposed development. The 36-foot wide driveway entrance on the southernmost portion of the site will be restricted to right-in and right-out only, and the secondary 19-foot 10-inch driveway to the north is restricted to right-turn exit only. The project proposes 79 three-story units in the form of 14 buildings and clusters of 4 and 6 units. The unit types range from 1 bedroom, 1 bath to 3 bedroom, 3.5 bath. On the screen is the floor plan for units 2A, the 3 bedroom, 3 bath, and units 3A, the 3 bedroom, 3.5 bath layout. On December 15, 2021, the Planning Commission held a public hearing and reviewed 2 parking and affordable housing options for the project. The first option included the project proposing 8 moderate income affordable units, which made the project eligible for a by right parking concession per Government Code Section 65915. Under the parking concession, the project would be required to provide 146 parking spaces. The second option was to consider a parking modification through the plan development permit process, and in exchange receive 7 units at our lower affordability level in the low income category. The code requires a total of 311 parking spaces or 3.9 parking spaces per unit for this project. The project proposes 146 covered parking spaces and 56 uncovered spaces for a total of 202 or 2.55 spaces per unit. With this option, the city achieves deeper affordability for the restricted units to the low income category. While this option reduces the total number of affordable units from 8 to 7, the deeper affordability far exceeds the loss of a single unit. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the project with the second option, allowing the parking as proposed through the plan development permit process to accept 7 low income restricted units and 2.55 and the 2.55 parking ratio. The zoning code provides the plan development permit to use modern site planning techniques, resulting in the efficient use of land, achieve high quality development and efficient use of the city's resources, not possible with the strict application of the typical development standards, and provide project improvements, including landscaping, green or sustainable features, and improvements to existing public facilities over and above what is typically achieved by standard zoning requirements. The project offers single family attached for sale residential units, enclosed garage parking, on-site guest parking, common and private open space, enhancements and improvements to the public right of way in compliance with the Livable Beach Boulevard Mobility Plan, as well as for sale affordable housing. The project is proposing alternative standards related to common and private open space and the 4-foot architectural offset. Staff will provide more information on the following slides. The project offers 41,748 square feet of common open space and 3 usable on-site amenities consisting of a recreation area, community park, and dog park. Staff has worked with the applicant to improve the landscaping palette and overall coverage of the plant materials and usable on-site features to improve the quality of life. The development does exceed the required common amenities and provides for a variety of activities and features such as fireplace, a dining entertainment area, barbecue counters, a playground, lawn area for active and passive play, cornhole, ping pong areas, shade structures, lounge seating, et cetera. The project also provides a total of 6,550 square feet of private open space in the form of 40 through 90 square foot balconies. The municipal code requires a minimum 4 foot offset for every two units to be provided on the front of the structure. Buildings 3 and 4 facing Beach Boulevard have an architectural offset of 4 feet. The remaining 12 buildings do not offer a 4 foot architectural offset, but do so instead through the through changes in materials. On the screen, we have a close-up of buildings 3 and 4 illustrating the offset. To break up the mass of the buildings, the developer is also proposing changes in materials with plaster, lap siding, wood look porcelain tile, and brick. And here we have a close-up rendering of those materials. The next slide also provides a close-up image of the materials mentioned. And then shown on the screen is also the two color and material schemes proposed for the buildings. The project proposes to make improvements to the public right-of-way to achieve design set out in the Livable Beach Boulevard Mobility Plan. Improvements include, but are not limited to, parkway, sidewalk, and street furnishings. An initial study mitigated negative declaration was prepared for the project pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act. The project includes the adoption of a mitigation monitoring and reporting program to address noise stemming from construction and potential biological and tribal cultural resources. The initial study and MND has concluded that the project will have a less than significant impact on the environment with the implementation of the mitigation measures identified in the mitigation monitoring and reporting program. The Planning Commission recommends the following actions: to adopt resolution number 2022-01, adopting an initial study and mitigated negative declaration and a mitigation monitoring and reporting program, to introduce ordinance number 1118, adopt resolution number 2022-02, approving SPDR-811, CUP-20-04, PDP-20-07, tentative track map number 19119, for a new 79-unit townhome development, including 7 low-income affordable units and associated improvements, and to set ordinance number 1118 for a second reading and adoption at the January 25th, 2022 regularly scheduled City Council meeting. This concludes staff's presentation. We are happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Before we do that, at this time, if the council's okay, I'd like to go ahead and open the public hearing on this so we can see if we hear from anybody in the public, and then we'll bring it back to the council. At this time, Madam Clerk, do we have any requests from the public to speak?
Mr. Mayor, I did not receive any requests to speak, nor did I receive any written communications on the item. However, I do see some participants here in the meeting room. If you do have public comment on this item, if you can go ahead and feel free to unmute your microphone and state your name, and you do have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Madam Clerk, and take control of that for me, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd now, again, just ensuring, open the public hearing. Hearing none, we have none. I will now like to close the public hearing. And if you wanted to open questions, comments to council, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so let me just clarify. We have nobody in the public that wants to comment at this time, correct?
Correct. And again, last call for public comment. You may unmute your microphone to speak on this item. Mr. Mayor, seeing none, hearing none.
Thank you. So hearing that, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for questions. We'll go ahead and begin with Mr. Taylor.
Yes. If I looked at it correctly, each townhome has a two-car garage. Is that correct?
Some of the one-bedroom units have a one-car garage.
Okay. And the 2.55 parking places per unit, that includes the garage.
Is that a ratio including the covered garage parking and the uncovered parking spaces.
Okay. And
I'm sorry, if I could interrupt, this is Jennifer. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just for purposes of this information, the 2.55 is meant as an average for the overall project. That doesn't establish how the Homeowners Association will determine how those extra spaces are used. And so the applicant will work with staff on a parking management plan that will identify, of course, the garage spaces will be assigned to each unit, but those 56 other spaces will be determined through a parking management plan of how they'll be used over time.
Okay, thank you. What I was going to ask is the difference between 7 and 8 affordable units, what did we give up as far as parking to get the 7 versus the 8?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if I might, we actually didn't give up anything in terms of parking. As was explained in the staff report, the applicant, by providing affordable units at any level, is entitled to an actually lesser parking requirement that would just have required them the 146 spaces that would have accounted for parking for each unit. What we negotiated with the applicant was to provide for a lower level of affordability through our PDP process. And that gives the city the authority for alternative development standards. And so they didn't have to use the state concession. And so we actually were able to get more. They offered more parking spaces with those 56 extra spaces that are uncovered. And we got that extra level of affordability for the unit.
Okay, thank you.
Councilwoman Warren.
Yeah, Gary targeted in on my concern over parking, and I think staff has negotiated the best deal they could on parking by getting the additional and staying out from under the state mandate. No chance for a pool for these people. That's a lot of people with no pool. This one.
We'll be building a Stamp Municipal pool by then, so don't worry.
Oh, okay. But no additional question, huh?
I said we need a pool for the kids to swim because we've been going out to the base on Los Alamitos. I think it's good to have one in our community.
Well, I would think this large condo tract kind of warrants a pool as well.
But we could, since you like cats, we could give up the dog park and put a pool there. How's that?
Much better.
Okay, I knew I'd see it that way. Okay, Councilwoman Van, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'd like to really thank and commend staff for the fine job they did negotiating this. And I really love that there are 7 low-income affordable units. I think that's a really huge need in our community. And I know that that is a concession that was would not have been possible without Ms. Lilly. So thank you so much for making that happen. And secondly, I wanted to ask, and perhaps the developer might be the best person to answer this question, but would it be at all possible for you to prioritize or give preference to folks who live in or work in Stanton in accordance with federal and state law for these 7 affordable units?
So, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if I might, that is absolutely the priority that the staff has understood from the council, is that anytime we have affordable units that would be available that our residents would have first priority. And typically when you're going through this kind of process, there is an eligibility list that's created. You can have waiting, W-E-I-G-H-T, not waiting, on that list that allows the seller to give preference to residents within the area. They would, of course, as you've stated, have to qualify under all the other terms, income and other. And so you can certainly ask the developer tonight, but I'm fairly certain that they are agreeable to that.
If the developer is in the meeting today, would you be able to comment on that, please?
Chris, do you want to comment on that?
Sure, no problem. Can everybody hear me? Yeah, I think yes, our preference with the 7 low-income townhome units in our negotiation process was to give a preference to those people who are residents of the city of Stanton. Of course, there's a qualification process that has to be in place, which we'll work with the city on. But yes, that would be our preference.
Thank you so much. I'm very pleased to hear that. And then other than that, I think it's a very fine project. I'm very excited to see a project like this in our city. I love all the amenities that you guys have, the dog park, the open space. And so, and I actually feel very good about the parking ratio. I think it's much better than some of our other projects. And I'm excited to hopefully once these affordable units become available, that maybe our city or through some forum, we could help promote this to our residents and those who work in Stanton as well. So thank you.
Okay, I just had a couple of comments. First of all, when we started this project, many months ago, one of the things that we as a council were concerned with was the aesthetics. If we go back to the slide that has the different paints and brickwork, please, Estefani.
Let me go ahead and do that, Mr. Mayor.
There you go. Anyway, I think it was Councilwoman Warren and Councilwoman Van that brought up, I think, Carol, you made an issue, not an issue, but a concern about defining the aesthetics of what we're going to be putting in. And if you look at Scheme X and Scheme Y and the different patterns, it really jumps out at you. I like the idea of the balconies. I think the council is very pleased with that. The color schemes are awesome. I think the people we have developing in our city now are very good, state of the art, especially the fact that some of their Bonani projects are also award-winning national programs for the design of the BRC. And as you know, Brookfield, if you go down there, they're very beautiful. They're well-defined. They have balconies and the color scheme. So Jennifer, thank you and the staff for working with the Bonani folks. I think you brought back something that illustrates something that we can be very proud of as a city. In fact, it's a complete change from what we began with a long time ago. So, Mr. Bonani, if you would let all the troops know, Ed and everybody, how much we appreciate the design that you came up with. It's something, again, that I think will not only help sell it, but the ownership and people going down Beach Boulevard will be very pleased to see it. As to the parking, I hate to say this, but I don't think there's much the city or anybody can do about parking, especially the way the state is right now. However, I think there's a very key component that I want to really put forth for my fellow council members, and that is parking management. How the HOA controls what we have given you in parking is going to either make this successful or not successful for your residents. As you know, you have sheltered and then you have open areas. Your HOA is going to have to be very careful about how They allow certain parking and certain domiciles, whether they're contained or not. And again, how they're going to take care of the outside parking. If that is not regulated and managed properly, then no matter what we do as the city or the planning commission is have no bearing on the success of it. So again, I want to emphasize, and I think Jennifer knows the importance of this in her negotiation, was the management plan for parking is going to have to be very well established and very well adhered to. Your neighbor just around the corner over there on Stanton Square in the heart of the city has such a parking management plan, which is very effective. And so I commend the project. I commend our staff. Council, thank you for pushing things in the right direction to make sure we got what we wanted. And with that being said, I'm going to make a motion that we make and take care of recommended actions on item 10A all the way down through, I believe it is 5. So if I could get a second for that, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Mr. Mayor, we have a motion by Mayor Chavez, a second by Councilmember Taylor. I will now proceed with the roll call vote for item 10A. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Chavez?
Yes.
Item 10A passes.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Bonanni, if he's available.
Actually, Mayor Chavez, Mr. Bonanni is not on the call tonight, only myself.
Estefani, can you put up the map showing the bottom south corner of that development, please?
Yes, let me go ahead and put up the site plan. Mr. Mayor, the site plan is now on the screen.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the triangle down at the bottom. Do you have that on a map? I think I saw that earlier that showed the storm channel area. Are we going to be taking in, my question is, I didn't really see that we have taken in the smog property, the smog check property. Are we getting that or not?
Mayor Chavez, no, that property is not a part of this development. We originally tried to negotiate with them, but they wanted to stay in place.
Yeah, well, see, that really bothers me, and I know that's not your fault. But here we have this wonderful planned development. We have the apartments across the way. We have a wonderful a beach walkway that's being established in its development. And we have an old 100-year-old building with just sitting like a bump on the log in the middle of a beautiful development that it actually has no business being there. I mean, they have a right to be there, but I think in the long run, it's just going to detract from what we're trying to do. My request, if it's okay with the council, is to maybe have Mr. Hildebrand or somebody reach out to that property owner to see if we can't complete this project aesthetically by continuing to do something with that area down there. So that's my only recommendation. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Bonanni, Chris, for taking your time.
Yeah, I'd like to, if I can have a 1 second, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, I just wanted to, on behalf of Bonanni Development and our entire team over here, we truly embrace being a part of the fabric of the city of Stanton with not only Verve and our coming up project, Cloud House, but now this townhome project. So I just want to say thank you also, Jennifer Lilly and Stephanie. We've been working on this project since October of 2020. It's been a lot of give and take from both us and the city. And again, we cherish that relationship and we look forward to a wonderful project in the future. So thank you.
Okay, any other questions on this item that we just approved? If not, we'll go on to item 11A. And this is approval of an unfinished business, approval of ordinance 1114. And I believe this is going to go to either Jennifer, right?
Mr. Mayor, that would actually be me, City Clerk, Ms. Vasquez. I provide the second reading for item 11A, which is approval of ordinance number 1114. This ordinance was introduced at the regular city council meeting of December 14, 2021. The recommended action for this evening is that the city clerk read title of ordinance 1114, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, amending Stanton Municipal Code Title 20, Zoning, Section 20.400.330, Accessory Dwelling Units, to update the city's Accessory Dwelling Units, ADU, and Junior Accessory Dwelling Units, JADU, regulations. That concludes staff's report this evening. City Council is asked to adopt ordinance number 1114. If you have any questions, staff is available for that. Mr. Mayor?
Any questions at this time? Okay, can I get a motion, please?
I'll move it.
I get a second. Thank you. Madam Clerk?
Mr. Mayor, for item number 11A, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Van. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauer?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. 11B, approving ordinance 1116, the ordinance was introduced at our meeting of December 14th. Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, that's item 11B, approval of ordinance number 1116. This ordinance was introduced at the regular city council meeting of December 14, 2021. The recommended action this evening is that the city clerk read the title of ordinance number 1116, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, adding section 6.06 of the Stanton Municipal Code requiring mandatory organic waste disposal reduction and finding same exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. This evening, staff or council is required asked to adopt ordinance number 1116. That concludes staff's report. Staff is available for any questions that you may have. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. This was sent out in an email by our city clerk. If there's anyone that has any questions on this, please feel free to speak up at this time.
Any members of the audience are welcome to unmute their microphone and speak on item 11B. Mr. Mayor, hearing none, seeing none.
Okay, I did have a comment that I wanted to bring up at this time. One of the things that we have done HD, this would not be a good time to talk about subcommittees, would it? Should I wait a little later or should I bring it up now?
I think it could go maybe in, I think it could go later in council comments. That might work a little better. Any thoughts? Jerry?
Jumping in here, probably best for 12A, the next item on the agenda, which are traditionally the mayor's appointments of council members and representatives to our various boards, commissions, and committees that we have. So I think it's best for the next item, 12A.
Is there a motion for 12A?
I'll move it.
This is a motion for 11B, for the approval of ordinance number 1116. Regarding mandatory organic waste disposal reduction.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Mr. Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Warren and a second by Councilmember Taylor for approval of ordinance number 1116-11B. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauer?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. New business, we have item 12A. This is mayor's appointments and council members representing the various boards, commissions, committees, and agencies. Anyway, we did send this out as an email, and I did not receive any asks for anybody that was not happy with what they were appointed to. The only comment I'm gonna make on this is, we do have standing subcommittees. And one of our standing subcommittees is called Contract Subcommittee. The members of the Subcontract Committee at this time are Carol Warren and Gary Taylor. Now, last month in December, we actually, what I felt was, took a responsibility of a contract city and created another subcommittee, taking a look at AB 1383, which deals with our contract with our waste hauler and meeting the requirements of 1383. I'm of the opinion over the years that when you start forming a subcommittee that conflicts with a committee that you already has responsibility to do it, it could cause a problem, especially if you start doing a lot of that. And so it's my recommendation that we keep our subcommittee's responsibilities within the scope of what they are when something has been assigned to them. If the council feels that they want to have a special another subcommittee to take care of contracts or legislation or parks or something dealing with some of the other issues we have, such as the business alliance, then we can do so. But I know that on December 14th, we actually appointed Gary and Alice to handle a contract subcommittee's responsibility under AB 1383 with our trash hauler. That being said, I would just want to get some input from you guys to see how you felt about leaving that responsibility to our already established contract subcommittee rather than forming another subcommittee.
If I may comment, Mr. Mayor, this is Alice Van. So Mr. Taylor, myself, as well as the city manager and our public works director, Mr. Ames, have already had a meeting regarding our new requirements with CRNR. And so since the committee is already, or the subcommittee is already actively meeting and we've had discussions, I think maybe we can continue that until that comes to fruition. And then maybe for subsequent, contractual services related issues, we could have Ms. Warren join, if that's okay with you, Ms. Warren.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, and Alice, I appreciate that. I'm very comfortable with what we're doing now. I'm just saying that historically, if you start creating too many subcommittees that overlap other committees' responsibilities, sometimes they go astray. I don't think that's going to happen in this thing, but I like your recommendation. I think that's something that would work out very well. Once we get by the 1383, if we begin working on contracts, then we can maybe, but you guys, if you decide you want to do it, you can bounce it back to the original committee, if that's okay.
I think it's a good idea too.
Okay. All right, good. That's being said, is the recommended action is to go ahead and to approve the members and representatives to the various boards, commissions, committees, and agencies at this time. If there's no further discussion, do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, for item 12A, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Van. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren? One moment, Ms. Warren, your microphone is muted.
Yes.
And Mayor Schauer?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Okay, item 12B, this is a purchase and sale agreement for 10692 and 10712 Beach Boulevard and appropriation of funds. Mr. Hildebrand, I believe.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you stated, this is for your consideration, a purchase and sale agreement for 10692 and 10712 Beach Boulevard and the appropriation of funds. The subject properties consist of six parcels totaling approximately half an acre and are located within the proposed Stanton Town Center specific plan area. The properties consist of vacant, mostly underutilized lots and two buildings, the historic Bauman's Market and Mr. Lee's Korean Barbecue Restaurant. Both the properties fall entirely within a qualified census tract. The purchase and sale or the purchase of the property will allow the city to control the site, evaluate development options, and continue the revitalization of Beach Boulevard. At this time, the city does not have any specific development plans for the site. However, it does fall within the, as I stated, the town center specific plan. And the area in question is highlighted for a park public plaza concept. The purchase and sale agreement has been prepared and negotiated and is being presented to the City Council at this time for approval. The principal terms of the transaction are indicated in the staff report and the agreement. The city will purchase the properties collectively for a price of $2.7 million. Upon execution of the agreement, it will trigger a 45-day due diligence period with closing 30 days after the expiration of the due diligence period. It will in the future be presented to the Planning Commission for a general plan conformance finding. And as I stated, the cost will be completely funded by the city's $9.1 million ARPA allocation. On the screen, if you can see it with us, with Cosmont, who's helped out greatly on this project, is Brian Moncrief. He's available to answer any questions that you might have, as well as myself or HD. That concludes my staff report, and staff recommends approval of this, approval of the purchase and sale agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Hillebrand. I just had a quick question. On item number 4 of 12B, you keep mentioning $2.7 million. Is the appropriation for an additional $100,000 just a contingency? Is that why we're doing that, or is there a difference in those numbers?
Correct. The purchase price is going to be $2.7 million. There will be costs if we proceed. There will be costs associated with the closing of escrow, some ancillary fees, as well as the environmental assessments being conducted on the property. So we should come below the $2.8 million, but it's there just in case.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the council for either Mr. Moncrief or for Mr. Hillebrand? Ryan, how long do you think it's going to take us to take care of this? Do you have an estimated time processing on it? I know we were going to do a phase one, you know, maybe a phase two. What's your timeline?
So the phase one is underway. The phase two, depending on what we find, will sort of dictate the timeline. But if we were to follow the process laid out in the purchase and sale agreement, it could be 45 days plus an additional 15 days on the due diligence period if we need it, plus an additional 30 days to close, could be April, right? If everything falls in line, it could be an April close on the property. Now, we suspect that the phase one and phase two may bring up some issues that we'll have to contend with at that point, and that may elongate our time frame. But generally speaking, that's what we're looking at.
Thank you. I think it is important. That's an older part of our town. There used to be some industrial use in that area. I know there's a cleanup on Main, on the corner of Main, and there is a flow there. So please do your due diligence. That was brought up by the council today that we were, you know, in the past, we always want to make sure our environmentals are okay.
Correct. Yep. Will do.
Thank you. Anybody else, please, at this time? Gary?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, Ms. Van?
No questions, sir.
Carol?
No questions.
Thank you. Is there a motion to purchase?
I'll move it.
Mayor and Council, if I may just interject really quickly. One thing I wanted to note was prior to after the agenda was published, we made a couple changes to the agreement, just to make it crystal clear that if for some reason the city was not able to close on this transaction, that the deposit would go back to the city. Two changes were made, one to section 2.2 and one to 3.4. We're aware that the seller has been apprised of this and has signed off on that. So it will be an amended agreement that would be approved per your motion today.
Thank you for that. And also I wanna make it, just check with the city clerk to make sure that no one from the public would like to speak on item 12B at this time. You know, we wanna make sure we have open government. So Madam Clerk, is there anyone that, that you can see that wanted to speak on item 12B, either through correspondence or on putting their hand up?
Mr. Mayor, we have had no requests to speak this evening and no written communications this evening for item 12B. Any members of the public in the room this evening, please feel free to go ahead and unmute your microphone and speak on item 12B should you have any comments, questions, or concerns. Mr. Mayor, hearing none, seeing none.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we're ready for that motion, I believe.
We had a motion by Councilmember Warren. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Warren, a second by Councilmember Taylor. I will now proceed with the roll call vote for item 12B as amended by Ms. Nguyen. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauder?
Yes.
Item passes, Mr. Mayor.
I see the symbol of the city of Stanton's got a hand up. Is that anything that we need to address?
Mr. Mayor, I do not see any hands up at this time. The symbol is me, so it could possibly
be that. That's your hand.
I am the seal, so it could be that I'm speaking, so my box or hand is lit or raised.
Okay, I'm just worried about you.
I see it, Mr. Mayor.
All right, we'll move on to item 13, which is oral communication. At this time, public members may address the city council, the successor agency, the Stanton Housing Authority, regarding any items within our subject matter jurisdiction of the city council, the successor agency, Stanton Housing Authority, provided that no action will be taken on non-agenda items. Has there been any request from the public to speak on any items or just in general this evening?
Mr. Mayor, we have none, no requests to speak, and no written communication provided to the city council or city clerk at this time.
Thank you. That hearing that, I'm going to close public hearings at this time. Item 13, move on to written communications, of which we have none. We're now at 14, which is 15, which is mayor, chairman, council initiated business. Hearing none, item 15A, these are committee reports, council agenda authority announcements. Do we have any at this time? Okay, 15B, council agency authority initiatives for a future meeting. Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. I'll be filling out a form. Over about a year and a half ago, Councilwoman Warren was brought forth an item of possibly looking into looking at private security services for the city of Stanton. And I'd like to get that on the agenda for discussion. And I will be more than happy to fill out the forms for that. Is there anyone else that would like to put something on an agenda item in the future? Okay, thank you for that. Council agency authority items for a future study session. Hearing none, items from our city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor Council. I have no items tonight.
And from our esteemed city executive director, manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nothing tonight.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, if I can tag in under the city manager's items. Request to speak, sir?
Sorry. Yes, Trish, go ahead.
Thank you. I would just like to announce that we do have our redistricting Stanton public hearing number 3 presentation of proposed maps, which will be held at the January 25th City Council meeting at 6:45 p.m. And that ends my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Hildebrand, I don't want to put you on the spot, but could you give us just a couple of comments on where we are with keeping our city hall open during the pandemic and what we kind of have planned in the future and what we have available to help our employees and also the citizens with testing, please.
Yeah, no, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate the opportunity. As you can tell, right, we with the recent surge of the Omicron variant, we've gone back to virtual meetings. We'll continue this likely for the next meeting and then see what happens here in in, you know, February and March. So far, City Hall has been doing pretty well. As you know, a while ago, City Council implemented a vaccine or test policy, and that's been going pretty well here. A majority of the employees are vaccinated. Those who are not are testing weekly. Haven't had any positive cases arise from our weekly testings. However, and as expected, after the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, there were some staff who were exposed outside of City Hall, either at gatherings or events that they attended. So those staff members that have either tested positive or exposed are home quarantining. Otherwise, City Hall is open and ready to serve the public. We implemented COVID protocols right over the last 2 years. Plexiglass at the counter, that has seemed to help quite a bit. So, members of the public can come into City Hall, talk with anybody at the counter, administration, community development, or public works. Right now, it means a lot, right? Because we're issuing new parking passes and permits for the year. So we do have a lot of attraction out front, but we've been able to implement some air purifiers out front, add a little more to the lobby, but so far, so good, and we're weathering the storm. But there's no secret, Omicron is surging right now, and we are monitoring it daily. Hopefully that answers all your questions, sir.
Thank you for that update. And I think it's important that we protect the public, we protect our employees, but we still provide our services to the community and our facilities for their use. So you guys are doing a great job. Thank you for that. Now we'll move on to Chief Pietro, who is going to give us our OCFA report. Go ahead, Chief.
Good evening, council members, Warren, Taylor, Van, Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, and Mayor Shaver. It's my pleasure to be with you virtually this evening. This is the report for December 2021. In that month, we encountered a total of 345 incidents within the city, 12 fires, 27 calls for service, and 306 EMS or rescue related calls. In the unincorporated area, a total of 63 calls, one fire, four hazardous conditions or calls for service, 58 EMS or rescue calls. There was one major incident in the city during this reporting period. On Wednesday, December 15th, at about 8 o'clock in the morning, a commercial fire was reported at 8536 Central Avenue in the city. The commercial property was a business that supported packaging of products. The fire caused roughly $750,000 in property damage and another $200,000 in contents damage. OCFA firefighters were assisted by our own community risk reduction staff, along with OCFA investigators, the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and the City of Stanton code enforcement staff. Anaheim Fire also assisted on this call. Of interest of this call, several people were using this building as a place of residence. Several beds, kitchen appliances, laundry appliances were found inside of the structure after the fire was extinguished. There were a number of concerns, including general housekeeping, the fact that it was being used as a residence, and other concerns such as storage of propane and compressed cylinders also contributed to the fire spread. Fortunately, there were no injuries to firefighters or civilians as a result of this fire. The city has red tagged this building. A couple of other notes, and I know that we reported on these last month, but again, they did take place during the reporting period. On Thursday, December the 9th, our firefighters from Fire Station 46 helped the City of Stanton deliver Santa Claus, the City of Stanton tree lighting ceremony. And they did, the Station 46 personnel participated in a toy drive event at Rodeo 39 on Beach Boulevard on December the 12th. As the city manager indicated, there has been an uptick in COVID cases. That it has impacted the Orange County Fire Authority. I'm happy to report that it has not resulted in any change in services for any jurisdiction within the Orange County Fire Protection Area. All cases have been relatively mild, and we continue to get folks healed up and back to work in short order. As of to date, from the beginning of COVID, we have all individuals who have tested positive have recovered and are recovering and have returned to work. As a point of safety, once again, it is super important that the public understand the value of having operating smoke alarms in their homes, to have them posted one in each bedroom and inside the hallways on all levels of the homes, that they have been checked and are operating appropriately. In addition to the smoke alarms, we encourage folks to practice exiting in their homes, especially those that have small children. In addition to smoke alarms, this time of year, now that we are in the colder months, homes are shut tight, and there are concerns of carbon monoxide. So in addition to working smoke alarms, the Orange County Fire Authority advocates working and carbon monoxide alarms. Carbon monoxide should be installed much like smoke alarms in the home. Test those once a month. And in addition to keep and prevent CO poisoning in the home, we encourage residents to have their chimneys checked and swept once a year, and having their HVAC, their heating and air conditioning, checked annually as well. Remember that running vehicles inside the garage, cooking inside of a home using charcoal or gas, or utilizing a generator inside the home produces CO. So again, for our public safety, there are additional information available to them, and that they can go to www.ocfa.org for additional information. One additional item of note, the OCFA is mourning the tragic line of duty death of Los Angeles County firefighter Jonathan Flagler. The OCFA firefighters are wearing their mourning bands on their badges, and the OCFA mourning flags are being displayed at all OCFA fire stations, including Fire Station 46. That concludes my remarks this evening. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions for Chief Petro? Chief, please thank 46 for spending the day out there with us and Care Ambulance at Rodeo 39. We got an additional assortment of presents that we were able to put into our Santa Sirene program. And again, we want to thank them for taking the time out of their busy day. Also, I wanted to share a little clip with you. Mr. Hillebrand and I were out in front of City Hall when a group of nuns who have been taking care of our community's children and food bank came by to sing Christmas carols to our city staff. And so I surprised them, and I brought the firefighters over from Station 46. And it was nice to see our firefighters getting sung to, our city staff being there as we celebrated the holiday season. It was kind of cute though, because some of the sisters are a little older. They've been in the convent for 55 years. Some had only been there for 6 years. And so to make my story short, the youngest one, when I said, sisters, everybody grab a firefighter for a picture, the youngest nun said, Mr. Mayor, can I have two? So I thought that was pretty cute. Anyway, they have not lost their sense of humor, and they continue to serve our community, both fire and that group of people. So I just thought I'd throw that there. So please thank Group C that was there that day.
I will do that. Thank you, Mayor.
I'm going to adjourn tonight in honor of two of our, one probably one of our longtime residents who recently passed away at the age of 94, and another one who also is a legacy of working in our community that died at the age of 91. I was at both of these services. The first one goes out, and I'm going to adjourn in honor of Alex Mascarenhas. Alex is a member of St. Polycarp Church, where he, over the years, spent many years servicing our food bank, providing food for all our people in our community. Day in and day out, it was part of his gift of giving. He also coached locally. Just to give you an idea, at the funeral were over 107 family members, of which 36 were his grandkids, 18 were his great-grandkids, 18 were his great-great-grandkids, and he had one in the oven. And so he was an awesome individual. His daughter actually played shortstop at UCLA when they won the national championship. Very athletic family. The Mascarenhas' daughter went on and played in the Olympics with the USA. The second person is probably one of our longest residents in our community, and that is Gloria Yolanda Soto. For the Soto family, they began back in the late 50s or late 40s, early 50s, living in Stanton. There were seven children. Gloria was very active in our community, not only working at our recreation programs, helping with our food banks, but also was instrumental in a lot of our youth programs that we have. Her son is Bishop Jaime Soto, who is the Bishop of Sacramento, and they have quite a family a grouping of people that continue to contribute to our community. It was kind of neat because Bishop Soto's closing words was that Beach Boulevard in Stanton, when he was a kid, was the center of his universe. And that was because all the signs in Stanton said, welcome to Crossroads of Vacation Land. And so no matter where they went, they had to go down Beach Boulevard, whether it was Huntington Beach, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm. And it was kind of poetic that he said that when his mom died, they were on the way to take her to the hospital and they were going down Beach Boulevard. And so his closing statement was that his mother, leaving Stanton, took Beach Boulevard on her way to heaven. So that is a great family, great tradition, and great contributions. So I hope we all remember them and their many accomplishments. That being said, I'm going to adjourn to our next regular city council meeting. Thank you all for being here tonight. Staff, thank you for your work in getting this prepared. Council members, thank you for your help. Let's all have a wonderful week, what's left of it, and please be safe out there. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. The meeting is now adjourned at 7:38 p.m.